Hello everyone, this is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message that I'm sharing with you today is entitled Joy to the World. The birth of Christ reminds us one reason Jesus came to the earth was to restore joy to mankind. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
I'm going to start a new series this morning. It's just simply called Hope is Born, and this will be the first message in the series. The series will conclude on Christmas Eve, and again, you don't want to miss that and be a part of that. I'm going to share a story with you real quick, just a Christmas story. Once upon a time, a perfect man and a perfect woman met. You already know this is not true, right? After a perfect courtship, they had a perfect wedding, and life was, of course, one snowy, stormy Christmas Eve, this perfect couple was driving the perfect car along a winding road, and they noticed someone at the side of the road in distress. Being the perfect couple, they stopped to help. There stood Santa Claus with a huge bundle of toys. Not wanting to disappoint any children on Christmas Eve, the perfect couple loaded Santa and his toys into their vehicle. Soon they were driving along delivering the toys. Unfortunately, the weather conditions deteriorated, and the perfect couple and Santa Claus had an accident. One of them survived the accident. Who survived? The perfect woman survived. Here's why. She's the only one we know that really existed. All right, because everyone knows there's no Santa Claus, all right? And there's no such thing as a perfect man. So if there's no perfect man and no Santa Claus, the perfect woman must have been driving by herself, which explains the accident. That's not true for all ladies, I know. So, Merry Christmas once again. Let's keep on going. All right, salvation is the primary blessing of the birth of Christ. Salvation is the primary blessing that Christ's birth brings to us. Jesus came to this earth wrapped in flesh, and the purpose was to redeem us, to redeem sinners. But beyond salvation, there are other blessings. There are secondary blessings. And each message in the series we'll deal with one of those blessings. The birth of Christ brings mankind salvation, but the birth of Christ also brings these other blessings. And today we're going to talk about joy. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
All right, good. Our world needs joy. Watch the news. Maybe not. You won't have joy then. All right, but our world needs joy. And Jesus has come to redeem mankind, and with redemption comes joy. If you're saved, you should have joy. All right, every year at the Harvest Festival in November, our church goes and we do an outreach there. And at that festival, what we do is we rent out a little spot, and rather than selling something, we give something away. We give away joy, right? We give away joy. And you say, what are you talking about? If you don't know, if you've not been here, don't understand that. We literally give away joy. And we take little bottles of joy, dishwashing liquid, and we give it away. We take 500 bottles. We take a label, a sticker with our church information on it, slap it on the back. We hand out those bottles of joy. And for those of you, if you've never been involved in this outreach, you know this, that sometimes you have some pretty interesting encounters. Most of our encounters are very positive. Very positive. There are a few. They don't need just one bottle of joy. They need two bottles of joy. I remember one lady took five. She must have needed a lot of joy. But some people need more joy than others, and you do encounter that. But when you ask someone if they like some joy, and you hand them a bottle, and it generally brings a smile to their face, and it opens the door for a conversation. And that's why we do it. That's the only point of the whole gimmick, is just to have a conversation with folks and start a dialogue with them. So again, there are many people they need a lot of joy, and there are some people you encounter you want to say this. You want to take that top off that bottle and just go ahead and chug it, because it might help you out a little bit. If not, at least give you some bubbles later. Jesus gave his life for our redemption, but he also came to give us joy. That is part of God's redemptive plan, is to restore joy to our lives. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be in the Christmas story. We're going to be in verses 1 through 12. If you want to follow along there. If not, we'll have the verses on the screen behind me. But let's start in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Verse 2, then the census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, check this out, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Everyone say all. All people. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. The angels proclaimed to the shepherds, watching over their flocks by night, and in the Judean countryside, good news of great joy, a Savior had been born. And the angels reassured the shepherds the purpose of their visit was not to harm or bring fear. The purpose of this visit was to bring joy. And joy accompanies salvation. Listen, more of us should have smiles on our face more often. All right? If I'm deep in thought, and I understand there are those times where you can be deep in thought, you may not have any kind of expression, but for the most part, we should have a smile on our face. And the reason is, and I'm not just saying we should fake it, I'm saying there should be a purpose, because if you're redeemed, if you're saved, you should have joy. Joy accompanies salvation. And do you know that heaven celebrates when a sinner gets saved? When you gave your life to Jesus and you were born again, heaven had a party for you. There was a celebration that took place. Look at Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When you gave your life to Jesus, heaven broke out with a shout. There was great joy in heaven. Heaven is filled with joy when someone gives their life to Jesus. Experiencing Jesus should be a joyful experience. All right? When you come and receive Jesus as Savior, that should be a joyful experience. One step beyond that, once you become a Christian, once you are born again, serving Jesus should be a joyful experience. See, serving Jesus shouldn't be a chore. Serving Jesus is a joy. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Are you experiencing joy? That's the question I want you to ask yourself this morning. Are you experiencing joy? So when you come to that word joy, it's important how we define joy. Joy can be defined several ways. I think they're all important how we look at them, each aspect of joy. Joy, as we understand, is an emotion. It's an emotion. For sure it's an emotion. Joy is defined as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. If you look up joy in the dictionary, that's what you'll find. Joy is an emotion comprised of feelings of happiness, contentment, and harmony. Boy, that word contentment is one we leave out in today's vocabulary, though. So joy is an emotion comprised of feelings of happiness, contentment, and harmony. When people lack joy in their lives, sometimes it's linked to a medical condition. You know, this is something the church has not done a good job on recognizing and ministering to people. People really can struggle with their emotions. People can really be in a bad place mentally and emotionally. And at times, the body of Christ has been like this. You just need to get over it. You just need to get over it. And sometimes there is a problem. And the work of the cross provides atonement for our sins, but thank God it provides healing to our bodies. Amen? The work of the cross not only provides healing to our body, but our entire being, our entire well-being, body, soul, spirit. Some people have put limits of healing that God can only heal certain diseases or certain illnesses. But can I tell you what? That God can heal every sickness, every disease. Amen? There's nothing that the blood of Jesus does not cover. All right, so with that said, I would offer a word of caution, because I'm not in any way trying to communicate this, that just because you're down, you can come to the altar, we can lay hands on you, and you'll get all better. because I'm not saying that. But I am recognizing there are conditions where people need prayer and they need healing and they need an emotional healing. And that can come in that way. But for the most part, I'm just saying this, that not to use that in a way that, man, I'm going to come down to the altar, I'm just going to get joy today. And that may be true. I don't know your situation. Only you know that. But I would offer a word of caution. It's this, that depression and anxiety are real, but divine healing may not be God's first response. Okay? Divine healing may not be God's first response. All right? If that was the case, everyone would be happy, right? But we still have to deal with emotions. We still have to deal with our mental state. So some people need to be healed and experience joy, while others need to press on. Press on beyond their circumstances and experience true joy, real joy. And we'll experience trials, every one of us in here. We're going to experience trials and difficulties in this life. And just because you're going through a rough patch, anybody ever been through a rough patch before? That doesn't mean that God's forsaken you, nor has he failed you, amen? Boy, that's when you need joy. That's when you need to understand what joy is. And there's so many people, they go through life, they run into a rough patch, life happens, and they don't feel any joy. Because joy is definitely an emotion. It's an emotion. And we have to be careful with our emotions. Say, life can happen at a moment, in an instant, and it can bring you down. But I got good news. God does not intend for any of us to stay down. All right? There's nothing wrong with life hitting you and you come down. That's just natural. That's being human. But there's something about this, is life brings you down and you just stay down. How many of you know that's not a healthy place to be? Is to stay in that place of struggling in our emotions. So I'll give you an example. Here are some situations that will test our joy. And an example could be a loss of a spouse. An example could be the loss of a child, a tragedy. It can test this promise. It can test this truth. And some people, I'm just going to say this, some people will never fully get healed until they step into God's presence. And I'm just telling you this, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. So there's a conundrum we face. All right, God does not want you to stay down, but on the other side, there's an understandable experience. There's an understanding that when you have great loss, it's difficult to get over it. So I just want you to understand there's a balance between the two. But in the midst of real heartache, you can have joy. You can have joy. And that's what I want you to hear, is not to deny that you've had experiences or trials or trauma, but this, that in that you can still have joy. There's still room for joy in this. The first key to experiencing joy in heartache is knowing that joy is available. You got to know that's available. It's available in your situation. Number two, the second key to experiencing joy in heartache is understanding that, listen to me, please, you have permission to have joy. You have permission to experience joy. I think this is really difficult, and especially in situations where mourning is involved. You know, man, it's not healthy for me to stay here, but at the same time, if I feel happy, if I feel joy, I feel guilty. Can I tell you that is a lie from the devil? There's nothing wrong with having joy in your heartache. So that's why I want to encourage you with this point. So joy is definitely emotional, but it's more than an emotion, amen? Joy is also, number two, is an attitude. Joy is a perspective. Give you an example of a joyful perspective. This is a perspective you may overlook. Job 13:15. How many of you know Job's story? It's not a good story, is it? It's a story that's filled with difficulty and trial. Job 13:15 says this. Job speaking says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Though he slays me, I will trust him. Yet I'll trust him. You may say, where's the joy in that? Where is the joy in that statement? It's all in his perspective. Joy is found in Job's perspective. Job refuses tragic circumstances to change his attitude towards God. Job chooses joy. It's his perspective. He's not going to allow a tragedy to change his perspective towards God, his attitude towards God. I'll give you another illustration of a joyful perspective. Another example would be this. In the Old Testament would be the Jews returning to Judea after 70 years of captivity in Babylon. the Jews return to their homeland. They find Jerusalem in complete ruins. And to top it all off, the temple that Solomon built, one of the wonders of the world, seven great wonders of the ancient world, it's completely destroyed. It's in rubble. It's just in pieces. And on top of that, as the Jews return, there are new inhabitants in the land. There are people living in their towns and cities. And these people vehemently oppose the Jews returning. That could not be a pleasant situation. And if you'll recall the story, the Jews were carried off to Babylon as a result of God's judgment. God's judgment upon their sin. They're there 70 years. They spent 70 years in Babylon. And this, after they've gone through all these great trials and difficulty and refused to repent, Psalms 137 describes their perspective when they're leaving Jerusalem. Not when they're coming back, but 70 years earlier. Listen to this. This is their perspective leaving Jerusalem and going into captivity, going to Babylon. Psalms 137, verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For those who carried us away captive asked us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Boy, this is a difficult situation. The psalmist records this. There's no joy in this perspective, and rightfully so. There should not be any joy in this perspective. They're under the judgment of God. These people are feeling every pain, every ache of their choices. The psalmist records this low morale. It's to the point they're basically just they want to leave their praise. They want to leave their joy by the riverside. As they're going into captivity, and upon that, their captors say, why don't you sing one of those songs you used to sing? Why don't you go ahead and sing one of those songs now? Now that we have you, now that we've taken you away from your land, where's your joy now? Where's your joy now? See, this is what the enemy does to us. Amen? See, we'll get into a situation, and then he'll say, where's your joy? Where's your joy? But in the midst of this trial, God has a plan for his people. God has a plan for you and I. You can go through a difficult time. God has a plan for it. Doesn't mean God's forsaken you. Doesn't mean God's left you. That's why your perspective is so important. And you can't just base your joy on the emotional side of it. You have to have the right perspective. When the Jews returned 70 years later to Jerusalem, yes, they find their nation a wasteland. They find it occupied with foreigners who oppose them. And they feel like their punishment has not ended. When we experience a difficult situation, we need to choose our perspective at that moment. They have an opportunity to choose their perspective. Thank God they have godly leadership at this time. And these godly leaders help the people have the correct perspective. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Very familiar scripture. When I get to the end of it, you're going to recognize it. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What's Nehemiah saying? Nehemiah says the people had gathered in the public square. They're there. Their city is in rubble. They're rebuilding. They're rebuilding the city. And they're discouraged. And they bring the people together. They're reading the law. And the law, the word of God, goes forth. And they're remembering their sins. They're remembering their past. And this is what Nehemiah is basically saying. Enough. Enough of the molly grubs. Right? Enough is enough. How many of you ever got to that place where someone needs to say to you, get out of it. Snap out of it. Stop singing the blues. Enough of the blues. Enough of being down in the dumps. Get out of that funk. That's exactly what Nehemiah is saying. You got to get out of this. You got to choose your perspective. Yes, there is the past. Yes, you went through some difficult things. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are difficulties. But you got to choose your perspective here and now. God has given us a second chance. See, they come back to Jerusalem, real trials, real difficulties, but God has released them from captivity to rebuild their nation, to reclaim their ancestral inheritance. So this is why they needed to choose joy. Joy had to be their perspective, And today, church, we need to choose joy. We need to say, listen, we're not going to base our joy on our circumstances. Because if you base your joy on your circumstances, you're going to be in the mully grubs constantly. You're constantly going to be in the blues. You're constantly going to deal with melancholy. See, we can't experience joy and the strength of the Lord when we're in the mully grubs. Joy is a perspective. So let's choose joy. Choose joy. Number three, joy is a spiritual fruit. Joy is an emotion. Joy is a perspective. But joy is a spiritual fruit. Joy is a spiritual fruit that is developed. This is something we have to really get into our knower. See, joy as a spiritual fruit is developed in our inner being by the Holy Spirit. So joy differs from general happiness in that it cannot be caused by a particular event, but it comes from within. That's the real joy. That's the gold, right? That's the gold that we all need to find in our relationship with God. You're going to have joy as an emotion, and joy, choosing joy as a perspective is important because it is the one that sets up joy as a spiritual fruit being developed in your life and through your life. See, if you don't choose a joyful perspective, you're never going to have joy as a fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's just impossible because joy can't be given to you. A spiritual fruit cannot be given to you. See, there are times I've heard even people say, in altar calls, if you know, speaking of a spiritual fruit, no one can impart to you a spiritual fruit. It's impossible. They can't do it. See, that comes from the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit. All right? Joy as a fruit of the Spirit must be developed. See, joy and all the other fruit of the Spirit are a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. See, it's a matter of this. Us dying to our flesh in one area so that the Spirit of God can bring growth in another area. So without that cooperation, without that cooperative effort, we're never going to experience a fruit. In this instance, we're talking about the fruit of joy. So look at this, Galatians chapter 5, verses 23 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Joy is listed second. I don't think it's there by accident. I think it's there by purpose. Because joy does this. Joy affects our faith. It will affect your faith. If you're down, if you're in the mully grubs, your faith obviously and most likely is going to be way down. So joy affects our faith. Joy affects our peace. Joy affects our hope. See, this is all interconnected. The fruit of the Spirit is all interconnected. It's intertwined with each other. Joy is interconnected with each other, and that's why it's so important that you have a joyful perspective. Joy as a spiritual fruit is developed in the life of a believer. All right, and again, you can't lay hands on each other and impart it. It just can't happen that way. It has to be developed. Let me give you an example, because I think this is one we may have a difficult time understanding. But if you look at the fruit of the Spirit in general, I think this will help you understand how we can develop joy in our life spiritually. If someone says this, they come to the altar and they say, "I need patience." Yeah, some of you have already know. I've said this so many times. Don't ask for patience. Don't ever ask God to give you patience. Do you know why? And how do you get him? How do you develop patience? Through impatience, through situations, through trials, through difficulty. I pastor friend of mine, I've told you this before. Man came down to the altar and said, "Preacher, I need patience." And God, give this man every trial and difficulty. And Jesus said, "What are you doing?" Because I'm praying exactly for what you need. You need patience. And I'm praying God give you those situations to develop patience. So now put it in perspective. It's the same thing. The fruit of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit is not imparted. It's developed. So if we need patience, we'll find ourselves in situations where we're impatient. See, that's where you have to rely on the Holy Spirit. That's where you have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in yourself. Look, God, I'm lacking patience right now. I'm going to kill that person in Jesus' name. Got to spiritualize it, right? God, help me to deal with this person correctly. You know, that is our line of prayer. Pray for that person. Lift them up. Bless them. Encourage them, even though you want to kill them. Do the exact opposite. Take a step away from your flesh and allow the Holy Spirit to develop in you a fruit. All right? So it's the same with joy. Joy is no different. Joy as an emotion, it can be affected by our situations. Joy as a perspective can be challenged by our situations. Joy as a spiritual fruit can be, and even though these situations can be unpleasant, joy as a spiritual fruit can be developed in those unpleasant times. So if we develop joy in adversity, in which most times that's when it's going to happen, because that's when you need joy the most, is when you're in a situation that is difficult. That's when you need joy the most, is when you're in a trial, when you're being tested, when you're under pressure, when the world's caving in around, you need the joy of the Lord then. So guess what? God's going to give you some adversity so that you can have that joy that develops so that you can endure the next trial. Because you know this, that you can be over one trial, and guess what? There's another one somewhere down the line. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to go through. Good news, though, Jesus goes through it with you. The Holy Spirit is in you, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What's he talking about? That man is nuts. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That means when you fall into situations that aren't your making, that you've not created, count it all joy. How can he say that? Because, listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy as a fruit of the Spirit is your strength. And it allows you to go through those times, those trials, with joy. The world tells us this, joy is developed in happy times. So if you want more joy, you need to have more happy times. Right? Hey, if you need more joy, just go drink it. If you need more joy, just shoot it. If you need more joy, just snort it. If you need more joy, you just need another person to replace the one that's not giving you joy any longer. See, that is a lie from this world. It is a lie from the flesh. It is a lie from the enemy. You can't find, listen, joy in those situations is circumstantial. It's situational. It means this, that you can find joy in a person for only so long. Listen, ask people who have been married for 20 years or more. I'm in that category now. Right? There's certain elements of that marriage that changes. And you find joy in different areas. And you find joy in it with a different perspective. And I'm just saying this. After the lust dies, listen, church. Hello. Your perspective better be different. Because if not, listen, we are creatures of habit, yet we are creatures that constantly want new experiences. And we've got to be careful that we don't base our joy that way. We can get a lot of trouble that way. Trying to find joy in all the wrong places and all the wrong faces. Sometimes we miss the opportunity God is trying to develop in us. He's trying to develop joy. And what we do is we turn away from it because we don't have the right perspective. And God says, you want joy, you need joy, I want to give it to you, but you're not going through this situation so that I can help you, help establish joy in your life. And what do? We turn to our flesh. We turn to other people. We turn to the world. And I'm just telling you this, you're never going to find joy in this world. You're not. It's a fallen world. It's broken. You know, when we come to joy, this is the crux of it. This is the pendulum. This is where we need to shift to the other side. When it comes to joy, an experience of joy, it comes with a change of mind. You just have to have a change of mind in the very beginning. See, that we use the word repent in reference to sin, correct? That we repent of our sin. That means we have sorrow, but in that sorrow, it doesn't end there. We're taking a different direction. As we're approaching sin, as we're indulging in sin, we're going this direction. But repentance is this, to change your heart. Change your mind. Change your direction. Yes, you were indulging in sin, but because of the sorrow, because of conviction, you say, I can't do this any longer. You stop doing it and you go the other way. So we use that word repentance often with sin, but repentance in essence is a change of mind. It's a change of mind that gives a change of direction. See, this is what it comes with joy. You have to have a change of mind. You have to settle in your heart, settle in your head that I'm choosing joy. Because if you don't, you won't. So this is the challenge. If you want to experience true joy in your life, then you have to choose it. You must choose it. You must change your mind and go in a different direction. See, joy is so incredible. Joy is so fulfilling in our lives. And God wants to fill our lives with joy. You might be in a bad situation, but you still have to choose joy. See, joy keeps us positive. Joy keeps us encouraged. Joy keeps us content. And again, that's a word that's missing out of our vocabulary in today's world, because we try to find joy in abundance of things, stuff, experiences, people. But true joy comes in with being content. Joy keeps us healthy. Joy keeps us healthy. See, there's a preventative measure with the fruit of the Spirit. If we have the joy of the Lord, if joy is a spiritual fruit, then we'll have an easier time when we're dealing with our emotions and our mental capacities. Joy gives us peace in the midst of chaos and turmoil. How many of you know we're in a time of chaos and turmoil? The world's watching us, church. The world is watching Christians. See, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, his world, or that world, that part of the world, in fact, most of the known world, was under the oppression of Rome, and it was a very turbulent time. The Jews were under oppression by a foreign power. They were experiencing economic hardship because Rome had taxed and oppressed the Jews. Spiritually, this nation, at the time that Jesus was born, this nation was corrupt. It was legalistic. It was hypocritical. The religious establishment was bogus. This is the time in which Christ was born. In a time of chaos, in a time of turmoil. The last prophet to speak on behalf of the God to the Jewish people was the prophet Malachi. And Malachi spoke 400 years prior to the birth of Christ. 400 years of prophetic silence. God, where are you at? God, what am I going through this? God, what am I dealing with? 400 years of silence. The Jews, under this oppression, they cry out to God. And finally, one night, on a Judean hillside, angels appear and speak. And they say this, I've got some good news for you. I've got good news for you. It'll be great joy. It's a message of hope. Luke 2, verses 9 through 10, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. The angel of the Lord reinforces to the shepherds, something special has happened. Something has changed. Something has changed world history. All of creation, under the weight of sin, has hope now. And because it has hope, there is joy. Let's go down to verses 13 through 20. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. Look at this. The angel choir singing, the birth of Christ. He stepped into, joy has come into the world. Joy has come down. Joy to the world. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. He's a revealing God, church. He's a God that reveals himself to mankind. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known, check this out. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled in those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, heard and seen, as it was told to them. Look at their response as they encounter the Christ. It's joy, it's praise, it's celebration. The shepherds see God wrapped in flesh. The shepherds see joy enter into this world. Imagine this, in a world of brokenness, a world of sin, a world of darkness. Light shines, and it's joy. It's joyful. The angels show up. There's celebration. See, some of you need to experience Jesus as Savior, and to do so, you must give your life to Him. But when you do that, there's great joy. There's great joy when you give your life to Jesus. Some of you, you've been maybe doing your own thing, going your own way, going your own direction, doing your own thing. Yeah, you believe in God. Yes, you want to serve God, but there's no joy, and you know it. Can I tell you this? You need to get back on track. Some of you need to pray that I need to do this. I need to set my mind on this, that God indeed does want me happy. There's nothing wrong with saying that, by the way. He wants you saved first, but I believe God wants you happy at the same time. Why is that? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Why is joy then a spiritual fruit? And again, doesn't mean this. We walk in through life with our head in the clouds. It doesn't mean we deny facts. It doesn't mean that we deny circumstances. It's just in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of trial, you can have peace and joy. I believe that with all my heart. All of us, like these shepherds, like what they've experienced this great joy. We need to make sure we communicate the joy that we have. Every person in here, if you're born again, if you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have the same obligation, or you should have the same actions, the same heart as the shepherds. The shepherds saw this joy. They couldn't contain it. They had to share it. They had to share this message. They had to share what they saw, what they heard to everyone that they encountered. Like the shepherds, church, we need to spread joy. We don't need to spread gossip. We don't need to spread junk, garbage. We just need to spread the good news. See, there are lost people in this community. There are more lost people in our community than there are saved. No doubt about it. If so, every church in this community would be filled. We'd have to be building more and more churches. There are more lost people in our community than there are saved. So our community, even though it's very religious, it's very traditional, there's a lot of darkness. So therefore, we have an obligation. And we have an obligation not to share a pseudo-joy. Are you following me? Not a made-up joy, not a spooky joy, but real joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. See, like these shepherds, we need to live our lives, go and tell. Go and share the joy that we've encountered and live our lives joyfully. Like the shepherds, we need to go and tell people who need this hope and share the joy that we have. Some people don't have joy because they don't know Jesus. Others, they don't have joy because they've drifted away from Jesus. I'll give you an example. David, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, was judged by God. And this is how David responds. He responds in repentance. When David turns back to God, this is what he writes. Psalms 51, verse 12. Restore to me the joy. Are you hearing me? The joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. There is joy experiencing and walking in salvation. There's peace, there's joy, there's hope. People without Jesus and those who've strayed away from Jesus, they need that hope. They need to return. They need to get back with God, or they need to give their lives to God. David, look what he writes. Just going down a couple verses. The next verse, this is what he writes. So after he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, this is what he writes. So with the right heart, the right perspective, this is what he's saying from a very healthy place. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. See, church, there's an obligation throughout Scripture for the body of Christ, for the people of God, to share their story, to share the message of God, to share hope, to share joy, to share salvation. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the staff's job. It's not just the deacon's job. It's every person who calls himself a believer, calls himself a follower of Jesus, who's been born again. Every one of us have this obligation. We see this pattern throughout history, and we even see it in David. David was a shepherd at one time, correct? Before he's king. And then on the night of Christ's birth, these shepherds, common shepherds, just regular folks, they encounter Christ. And what do? They go and tell. They share the story. They have joy. They can't contain it. Where's our joy? Where's our joy? Why are we so fast to share something that's negative? Why are we so fast to share something that has nothing to do with Jesus? Listen, I'm not saying this, that we have to walk around being so pious and religious that no one can have any kind of interaction with us. But I am saying this, that when you have a conversation with people, it should be this. There should be some intertwining of your faith. Listen, the only God they hear in your conversation shouldn't be GD or JC. They should hear your faith. They should hear your story. They should hear what you're going through, how you're dealing with things in a truthful manner. No matter what the situation is, if Jesus is your Savior, you have access to joy. And I pray that everyone in here today receives Jesus and they have access to joy. You have access to joy that Jesus brought into this world. Again, there are people in this community who need Jesus, desperately need him. And I pray you're like the shepherds in this story, that you encounter the joy of the Lord and you share that with others. See, salvation, with salvation, there's true joy. With salvation, there's true joy. In a relationship with Jesus, and only there, is where you'll discover and find and experience true and everlasting joy. It's in a relationship with him. I'm sure every person can come up here who has served God longer than a few years. You can come up here and testify how in your life, before you lived, before you became a Christian, how you would try to find joy in situations and circumstances and people and substances, and it would never satisfy. But you can stand here today saying, you know what? I'm so satisfied in my relationship with God. Those things, they left me high and dry. Those things left a hole in my soul. See, only Jesus can fill that vacuum. True joy comes with a relationship with him.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.